a bit of an inside joke there, sorry. We were talking about the haze earlier in the week, and I said maybe Dominic could play a little Purple Haze for us. And so there you go. Yes. It is really, really good to see everybody today. And it has been a bit of a crazy week, a little bit apocalyptic looking one day, like we were on the surface of Mars instead of the surface of Earth. But it's a beautiful day today, great day for us to be out in the park, great day for us to have this fellowship together. And so I know all of us are grateful for that. I want to start right now. I just want to have a prayer for Elson Johnson, who is going back into the hospital. He's had a lot of medical problems recently. And so let's be praying for him. Pray with me. Dear Father, we pray today that you will be with Elson Johnson, Mr. Johnson, and that you will bless him and help him to get better. Be with the doctors that are taking care of him. And Father, we pray that they will figure out all the issues with his heart and other things, and that he will come out healthier, and he'll be back with us very soon. Pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you can open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're gonna go over there to 1 Samuel 3 in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I'm just going to introduce a little bit of what I'm going to be talking about here today. You know, we went to this camp this past Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and it was down outside of Philadelphia. It's the Hope Camp. Many of you know it. And it was primarily attended by college students and college age students. It was a camp to help them learn the ministry more. We were focusing mainly on apologetics, which means defending the gospel. And so there were some deep classes like the Bible and science that Ryan McCullough gave. Brian Perkins gave an amazing class on God and science. There were classes, amazing class actually by Benjamin and Melina Hutchins on the problem of pain. Classes like that. And it was great. It was really, really great. There were over 100 students that were there. And even though they were fresh off of exams and fresh off of final papers, they came in energized, taking notes and learning. And it was just a great, great time together. I had the opportunity to teach a class, and I taught a class that I entitled Christocentric Apologetics. And so that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to float that out there and let you think about it. it just created a purple haze right now. But it was mainly about looking at Jesus and how countercultural Jesus was. I taught it with my daughter, Chelsea. She taught about Jesus and women. And I taught about Jesus and justice. And I introduced the class as well. But in between the classes, I gave the students an assignment, and you might want to try this yourselves. It was actually a friendly competition between, they were all at tables like this. And I told them, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and I want you to see how many events or sayings or encounters that you can think of in the Gospels that Jesus had with people that were countercultural. Okay, so countercultural events, sayings, interchanges between Jesus and people. And they sat there and they were working hard. And ultimately, at the end of 5 minutes, two tables tied. They both had 31 each. Just thought of 31 different ways that Jesus was countercultural. And actually have some of the answers now. I won't read all of them. That would take a while. But I will read some of them. Actually, I gave them one to sort of prompt them, you know, how you get things rolling. Love your enemies. Their number one answer, first on the page, love your enemies. And so I should have got them for plagiarizing at that point, but instead I let it slide. Then here's some of their answers. They're really good. Love your enemies. Jesus and the Samaritan woman. The first must be last. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus healed a leper by touch. Concerning adultery, Jesus said, even looking at a woman lustfully is adultery. Jesus appeared to women first at the resurrection. Jesus said, you have to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be like a child. Jesus said, you can't serve both God and money. Seek first the kingdom and do not worry. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus let Mary sit at his feet and learn from him. These are examples. There's many more. I mean, they go on to list probably 15 or more other answers in their reply there. But Jesus was very countercultural in his way of living, in his life. And that's actually one of the things I appreciate the most about Jesus. Because when I look at the life of Jesus, I see someone who is pushing against the culture in which he lived. And I just want to encourage all of us as we read the Gospels to see Jesus in that way, to see the ways that he pushed against culture, and for us to be countercultural ourselves, for us to figure out ways in which we're going to live in a countercultural manner. Because actually, it wakes people up. It makes people take notice. And Jesus made people take notice in the way that, for example, he treated women, or he treated sinners, or he took care of people, or he fed people. He helped people see God through that. And I want to talk about something now that I feel like is countercultural, even in our church culture right now. And it's a topic that I talked about kind of on the fringes before, but never as directly as I'm going to talk about it today. It's a good chance that of all of our churches around the world today, you will not hear this message taught anywhere. Okay, did that make you want to listen? A good chance that you will not hear that. I want to talk about hearing the voice of God. Not just through the word, not just through the way we interact with people, but literally hearing the voice of God. How much do we talk about that? How much do we think about that? Have we ever experienced that? As I was studying out apologetics, I started studying a book by Dallas Willard called The Allure of Gentleness. And the whole last chapter of Willard's book is about hearing the voice of God. And what he says is, if you really want to defend the existence of God, if you really want to know that God does exist, if you really want to talk to somebody about the existence of God, have you heard him? Because that's a major defense for the existence of God. I know he exists because I've heard him. But do we go there? Do we even think about that? That's the question. Dallas Willard wrote this, and it really challenged me. He said this, I believe the single most important thing I have to do is to encourage people to believe that God will speak to them and that they can come to understand and recognize his voice. Now, that's an amazing statement by a guy that taught philosophy at the University of Southern California, that wrote book after book on spiritual formation, in which he talks about many spiritual disciplines like prayer and Bible study and fellowship and fasting and meditation. He said, out of all these topics that I teach about, to me, the most important thing that I do is to help people learn to hear the voice of God. And it made me think, Steve, how are you doing helping people hear the voice of God? And that's really where this lesson comes from. This is a very radical statement by Willard. And it's a radical thought for us to think about. It is extremely countercultural, both in the world around us, but I would say also in the church around us. Because we don't talk very much about hearing the voice of God. And yet it's all over the Bible. God speaks all over the Bible to people, but we don't talk about it. It's as if we have decided that God's only going to speak through his word, or only God's only going to speak through another person, but he's not going to speak directly to us. But does that run with the flow of the Bible or not? I would challenge that it doesn't go with the flow of the scriptures. And so this thought today is very countercultural to us in our society and us as a church. I think that what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to develop the ear where we hear God's voice. And the fact is, if we never think about developing that ear, then we won't develop it and we won't hear God. If you play a musical instrument, then you know that over time, you can tell, let's think about guitar. I play a little bit of guitar. I can tell just by listening, there's a string out of tune. But at first I couldn't tell. And at first I had a majorly hard time trying to tune a guitar. But now over time, if you listen and you train your ear, you hear even when another person is playing a guitar out of tune. Or if you're a singer, you listen and you hear people when they sing out of tune because you've developed your ear. The same thing, I used to have a job early on in our ministry in New York, and it was to run the sound system. A glorious job, right, guys? I mean, a really glorious job. And we had a really horrible sound system. It was horrendous. And we were always trying to make it fill a room that was bigger than the sound system was meant to fill, okay? And so I would get it just to the edge of it going as high as it could go and without feedback. You know, that hum that sometimes builds into a scream, it just gets louder and louder. If I was not careful, I would get it up to there and I would start, but I learned over time to hear the low hum that nobody else could hear. I learned over time to push it just to the point that there was like a, and then I would turn back a little bit. Because I knew if I went beyond that, it was going to get louder and louder and scream. But I trained myself to hear that. Our children are that way with us. Our children know our voice. Our children know the tone in our voice. Our children know if our tone is a happy tone or a not so happy tone. And they will respond based on even the tone of your voice. Sometimes all you have to do is say their name. You haven't tried to correct them. You haven't said stop. You haven't said don't do that. You just simply say their name. And by the way you say their name, they know. I remember my son Daniel, he had a really good friend named Harrison Lawrence. And they were on the top of a mound, just on the top of a mound in his backyard, Harrison's backyard. And they both had sticks, as you know, six-year-old boys will. And they picked up those sticks and they started having a sword fight with the sticks. And I was watching them out the window, and I saw that they were getting closer and closer to each other's heads with those sticks. And so I just looked out the window. The window was open. I was probably 30 yards away from them. It was across the yard. And all I had to do was say, Daniel. And I said it like that. I said, Daniel. And then I was watching because Harrison just kept fighting. He didn't respond to that. The moment Daniel heard his name and that tone, he dropped the stick. The moment Daniel, he dropped the stick, and then he started looking. Where are you? I know you're somewhere. Where are you? And then finally he looked at the window and I waved at him. But he knew from the tone, he knew from me just saying his name, how to respond. And I think that's the way it is with God. With God, we have to learn to hear his voice. We have to learn to listen to his voice. And if we don't take the time or focus in on hearing it, it's very unlikely that we will hear it. Look at this verse in 1 Samuel 3. Verses 1 through 11, and this is the verse that I take the lesson from today. This is actually from the message, and I will read it and make a couple of comments as we read. This is about Samuel. Samuel, when he was a young boy, and Ryan McCullough preached a great message not too long ago about his mother and her having Samuel. Well, now Samuel finds himself in the temple under the direction of the high priest Eli. And this is the story that's told here in 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely seen or heard. One night, Eli was sound asleep. His eyesight was very bad, and he could hardly see. It was well before dawn. The sanctuary lamp was still burning. Samuel was in bed in the temple of God. Now imagine that. He's in bed in this giant temple with only candlelight burning. And it says it's where the chest of God rested. That's the Ark of the Covenant. He's there in the temple with the Ark of the Covenant where the presence of God is. Eli the high priest is there, and he's just a young boy who's there by himself. And that must have been a scary situation for him. But it goes on. It says in verse 4, then God called out, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel answered, yes, I'm here. Then he ran to Eli saying, I heard you call. Here I am. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And so he did. God called again, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli. I heard you call. Here I am. Again, Eli said, son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. So all of this is happening before he really knows the sound of God's voice. And so he thinks it's Eli calling. In verse 8, God called again, Samuel, the third time. Yet again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Yes, I heard you call. Here I am. Then it dawned on Eli that God was calling the boy. So Eli directed Samuel, go back and lie down. If the voice calls you again, say, and I love this part of the passage here, go back and say to the voice, speak, God, I'm your servant, ready to listen. Other translations just make it a little shorter. They say, speak, God, for I am listening. And I love that thought. So Samuel returned to his bed, and then look at what happens, verse 10. Then God came and stood before him exactly as before, calling out, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel answered. Notice this time he doesn't go to Eli. He's starting to get attuned to the voice of God. And so he says, speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen. Speak, God, for I am listening. And then the next verse says, God said to Samuel, listen carefully. I'm getting ready to do something in Israel that is going to shake everyone up and get their attention. But he's going to do it through Samuel, speaking to Samuel. And so I just find this an amazing passage of scripture. And I love this thought of speak, God, for your servant is listening. I write that in the front of my paper Bibles. It's really hard to write it on a digital Bible, okay? But on my paper Bibles, I write that on the front page of my Bibles. Speak, God, for your servant is listening. I want you to consider doing that. And I also want you to take a little time just to think about it throughout the week. And at moments, just pause and say, speak, God, your servant is listening. Or speak, God, your servant is ready to listen. To me, that's the beginning of being able to hear the voice of God. We have to actually stop and pause and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. You know, sometimes when we read the Bible, I believe we say this, you know, speak to me through your word. But we ever in our meditation or in our prayer or just sitting in the middle of nature, you know, just going back over there to the side of the Hudson River, you ever just look out and say, speak, God, I'm listening. And if we did, what might happen? That's the challenging part of all of this. That's the countercultural part of this. Well, it says this. If you have your mindset that it is impossible for God to speak to you individually, that is your faith. Yeah, I probably read that too fast, so let me slow it down. If you have your mindset that it is impossible for God to speak to you individually, that is your faith. And as it is your faith, at least as far as your experience is concerned, that is probably the way it is going to be for you. Because it's really hard to get beyond what we believe. and get beyond our faith. And so we have to open up and think, you know, here's an example of God speaking to Samuel. But if you go to Genesis, you have an example of God speaking to Abraham. If you go to Numbers and Exodus, you have an example of God speaking to Moses. If you go to Jeremiah 23, there's an example of God speaking to Jeremiah. There's an example in Luke 1 of God speaking to Mary through an angel. There's an example in Acts 9 of God speaking directly to Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. There's an example in Revelation 1 of Jesus speaking directly to the Apostle John. It's all over the pages of the New Testament that God speaks to his people. Why not now? Why not today? Why not with each of us? I had the opportunity yesterday of being with a number of friends, and we were sitting outside, and we were sitting around a fire, and I had worked on this message earlier in the week, so I said, we'd played a number of games together, and we're having a lot of fun and just getting to know each other, and this is toward the end of our time together, and so I said, I have a question for everyone. I said, can you tell me in your life an example of when you have heard the voice of God? And I just waited, and they had answers. This is not just a New Testament thing. It's not just an Old Testament thing. But if we will open our ears and listen, we'll hear the voice of God. One person said, I've heard God through a specific prayer that he answered for me. Another person said, in the midst of anxiety, I felt a lightness that shouldn't have been there. Another one said, when facing many options, the one that I needed to choose, God showed me. Another one said, and this was really amazing. This person said, I was on my way to the hospital. I was crying. I was so upset. It was a really bad situation. A truck pulled up next to me, and I rolled down my window to look closer at the truck, and on the truck it said, be still and know. Thank you. Be still and know. That was what was written on a sticker on the truck. The voice of God. And another person said, I was trying to write a really important letter, and I couldn't even start it. I couldn't even begin it. And so I prayed to God, and I went to sleep, and the next morning I woke up, and I wrote 3 pages, and God gave me those pages. And that's mainly how I hear the voice of God. I hear the voice of God in a number of different settings and in a number of different ways, but there are times when I'm writing books, and I don't know what to say next, and so I just pause. I just pause, and I stop. Sometimes it's at night and I go to bed and I actually dream about what I need to say. Sometimes I take a break and I come back to it and I'll just start writing. And then later I'll read what I wrote and I realize, Steve, that wasn't you. That was the Holy Spirit. That was God. God helped you with that. I even had a dream last night. It was a dream about the church, not this particular meeting here today, but about our church around North America. And there were things that came to me in that dream, which was just God. God saying, Steve, speak on this. Steve, somebody needs to say something about this. Do we listen for the voice of God? I might be freaking all of you out right now, but that's okay. my point really is that let's lean into this. Let's lean into this. I'm not saying that tonight the voice of God is going to speak to you like a light switch, just turning on a light. It might be more like boiling water, coming to a boil. But give it a chance. Lean into it. Lean into this idea. When I was in college, many of you know this story. When I was in college, Lee and I went to the same school together, and we actually met and started talking in our junior year, and that's another story and a bit of a longer story, but by the spring semester, we'd gotten to know each other. And, I had actually thought about maybe I should ask her out on a date. But I thought, there's no way. There ain't no way she's going to go out on a date with me. And so I just thought about it. And then I just threw the idea right out of my mind. Until one of her friends, actually one of her best friends growing up, a guy that we both knew, his name is Mitch. And I'm sorry, it's Owen. His brother's name is Mitch. Owen called me one night. I don't know why he called, because he lived in the dorm room right next to me. Okay. I guess he wanted to use his phone. Okay. But he could have just knocked on my door. But he called me and he said, Steve, I want you to know something. You can't reveal this where you're hearing this, at least not at that time. I'm revealing it to all of you now. So it wasn't like in perpetuity or anything. But he said, if you ask Lee out, she will go. I said, no, Owen, stop playing with me. Dude, I'm so tired of you. I'm tired of your tricks. You're being mean. That is just so mean. Stop it. And he said, no, Steve, I guarantee it. And I said, you cannot guarantee that. Steve, I guarantee it. So he upped the guarantee, And I thought, well, they are best friends. And so let me just try. I leaned into it, but I needed that guarantee. I needed someone just to say, Steve, lean into this idea. And I asked her, and she was so nice. She actually said, I would love to, and that's what you want to hear, right? Yeah. Not, let me get back to you in a week, Or I think I'm shampooing my hair that night. She said, I would love to. And I was like, well, that's awesome. The only reason I asked is because he said, lean into it. Honestly, that's all I'm saying today. I'm not saying that you're going to go home today and you're going to hear the voice of God, and it's going to be so audible and so clear that it'll be as if you're talking to a best friend. That might happen, but my hunch is that it's going to take some time because we're not used to it. But I want you to lean into it. That's all I'm saying, is lean into it. I'll give you here's a good story from the Bible about leaning into it. You remember the story about the woman that had an issue of blood and could not be healed. She went to doctor after doctor until she spent everything that she had on doctors trying to find a cure for her, and she could not be cured. And so Jesus was walking by her one day, and she had heard about Jesus. And Jesus was actually on a very important mission because he was going to heal a girl who was dying. But she just decided, you know what? There he is. I've heard this about him. Let me lean into this. And you can imagine the excuses that might have gone through her brain. Like, he doesn't have time for me. Are these rumors about him even true? Why would he recognize me? There's no reason he would recognize me. I'm just going to touch his garment. Surely nothing will happen with me touching his garment, but let me give it a try anyway. And that's what she did. And so she leaned in and she touched the hem of his garment. And by touching the hem of his garment, she was healed. The doctors had no answer. She could find no answer. She leaned in to Jesus. And that's all I'm saying. Lean in. Lean into God, lean into Jesus, lean into the Holy Spirit, and see what might happen when you lean in. Francis Fenelon, who's another one of my favorite authors, he said this, and I'll try to read this slowly. I know sometimes it's hard to hear the quotes. It's better if we can put them on the board, but that doesn't work here, so just try to listen. When we take the time for one simple moment of inner recollection and yielding ourselves to God, we see and hear more than the intellectual reasoning of all humanity put together. It's so deep and so good. When we hush our desires and thoughts and turn our attention away from outward things and enter into the light, lean in, and then it is that we discern God reigning over the throne of his kingdom inside of us. Oh, I love that. He's basically saying, when you lean in, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find God reigning on the throne inside yourself, inside your own heart. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about hearing the voice of God. I believe God is all around us, but do we give him a chance to speak? Let me give you just a couple of promptings that might help you to hear the voice of God. One prompting is talk to God yourself. Talk, then listen. Isn't that often how we get people to start talking? We talk. We talk and then we pause. We talk and then we listen. So maybe you can start by doing that. Another prompt is by seeking the will of God in your life. If there's something in your life where you really need an answer from God, why not ask? And why not listen? We often go to each other and we ask, and we hear different advice from each other. Why not just go to God and say, God, I need your help. I need an answer from you on this. And then listen. Listen and wait. Another prompt is extended times of being alone with God. We've talked about that the last couple of months. But sometimes it takes patience. You know, we've been working on plants and growing a garden at home and that sort of thing. And there are only a few things that are needed to actually grow a nice garden. You need some sunshine, okay? And if you don't get that, that's problematic. You need some water, and you need some nutrients in the soil, and then you need time. You just have to be patient. But I don't know if you notice these hydrangeas here. They're not looking too good. Give them time. Give them about a month. They're going to be popping. They're going to be beautiful. It just takes time. And sometimes that's the way it is with God. We have the sunshine. We have the water. We have the nutrients. We just need to be patient and let God work on us a bit. So I just want to close by saying that take the time, asking all of us, just asking us to take the time and listen for God. God will speak. We can hear his voice. Might not happen this week. Might not happen this month. Might not happen this year. Might not happen in several years. But if you tune your ear to the voice of God, you can hear him speak. Amen.